The title of today's sermon is God's Dual Purpose in the Life of Ruth. The text, Ruth chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. Let us read. Now it came about in the days when the judges governed that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the land of Moab with his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the name of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem in Judah. Now they entered the land of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They took for themselves Moabite women as wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they lived there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and the woman was bereft of her two children and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the land of Moab. For she had heard in the land of Moab that the Lord had visited his people in giving them food. So she departed from the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. May the Lord grant that you may find rest, each in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, but we will surely return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return, my daughters. Why should you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Return, my daughters. Go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I said I have hope, if I should even have a husband tonight and also bear sons, would you therefore wait until they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is harder for me than for you, for the hand of the Lord has gone forth against me." And they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Then she said, "Behold, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you, for where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Thus may the Lord do to me, and worse, if anything but death parts you and me." When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Precious Lord, Almighty God, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. You are worthy of honor and glory. We thank you for this great privilege of meeting together to worship you, to praise you, and to receive your word. Help us all. Be merciful. Give us the grace, Father, to understand your word and to be edified by it. We trust only in you. In the name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen. In the book of Ruth, we learn about God's dual purpose behind all that he does. The first purpose is to save all of his elect through the sacrificial death of his Son, Jesus Christ. And the second is to conform them to the character of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to guide them according to his predestined will. In the story of Ruth, we see how God demonstrated his loving kindness and faithfulness to Naomi, through Ruth. Elimelech and Naomi exemplified the collective disobedience of Israel in the days when the judges ruled. But this did not affect God's grace and faithfulness to his covenant promises. In the book of Ruth, we see the dual purpose behind the famine that he sent to Bethlehem. And the purpose was not only to carry out his righteous judgment against a disobedient Israel, but to demonstrate his loving kindness, his mercy and grace in the life of Naomi and Ruth. But as we already know, the overall purpose was to bring forth the promised Messiah. In this story, we see how God used an unlikely person, Ruth, who was a Moabite widow, to not only comfort Naomi, but to become part of the genealogy of Christ. And we not only see how God demonstrated his kindness, his mercy, and faithfulness in the lives of Naomi and Ruth, but we also see the bigger picture, how God was carrying out his predestined will according to his main purpose, which is the salvation of his elect through Christ. In the text of today's sermon, we will consider the following three main points. In verses 1 and 2, we see that God is faithful, and there is nothing we can do to stop him from accomplishing his sovereign and predestined will. Elimelech was disobedient when he doubted God's faithfulness by leaving Bethlehem and seeking refuge in a country that had a history of hostility towards Israel. And his sons were disobedient when they married Moabite women. But our omniscient Father God, who declares the end from the beginning, and who works all things according to the counsel of his will, was always in complete control of everything that happened in the lives of Elimelech and his family. Let's consider the second point, verses 3 through 5. Fear is often the result of uncertainty. But when we experience this type of fear, we must always remember that God not only knows the outcome of any situation, he has declared the outcome of all things from the beginning. In the book of Ruth, God demonstrated his covenant kindness and faithfulness toward Naomi through his providence. In the mind of the unbeliever, the issue of death and suffering in the world is a mystery. But God, through his word, has revealed to us the reason both exist. And the reason is because death and suffering are the consequences of sin that entered the world through Adam's disobedience. And as a result, Adam and all who have come from him must suffer the consequences, which not only involve suffering and physical death, but also spiritual death. Or in other words, a spiritual separation from God that is made evident by mankind's collective rejection of him. And as a result, all must suffer the consequence of their sin, the consequence of death and suffering. But those who have been born into the family of God view the issue of death and suffering differently. We understand that death is the means through which God ultimately rescues us from the presence of sin and its consequence. Pain. And we view pain as suffering, as something we must experience for three general reasons. The first reason is so that we may be trained in righteousness through the discipline of God to become conformed to the character of his Son. The second reason is to glorify God. When we by faith suffer for the cause of Christ, we glorify God because he is the one who works in us to will and to do according to his purpose and for his pleasure. The third reason is that through suffering, God not only teaches us to depend on him, but he corrects our path and guides us according to his predetermined will. And we see an example of this in the life of Naomi and Ruth. Let's consider the third point found in verses 6 through 18 of the text. God does not depend on anyone nor anything to accomplish his will, but it pleases him to use whomever he wants to do so. And sometimes he uses people who we least expect. God demonstrated his covenant kindness and faithfulness towards Naomi through an unlikely person, Ruth, who was a Moabite widow. In chapter 1 of the very short book of Ruth, we learn about God's dual purpose behind all that he does. The first purpose is the salvation of his elect according to the covenant of redemption. And the second, to conform us to the character of Christ and guide us according to his predestined will. And this he does in many ways through his providence. God does not need anyone or anything to accomplish his will, but it pleases him to work through us as mere instruments of his grace to save one another, or better yet, to serve one another, to bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. In verse 1, we learn about the setting of the story. It took place during the days when the judges ruled in the town of Bethlehem. This was a time during which the Israelites were continually disobedient, but God demonstrated his kindness, his mercy, and faithfulness to Israel according to his covenant promises. And despite Israel's collective disobedience, God carried out his sovereign and predestined will, which had included judgments against Israel. God had warned Israel about this famine. He spoke to the Israelites through Moses, saying, "Your strength will be spent uselessly, for your land will not yield its produce, and the trees of the land will not yield their fruit." But despite God's warnings, Israel continually disobeyed. But this did not affect God's faithfulness, nor did it affect all that he had predestined to occur. According to his covenant with Israel in the story of Ruth, we see it clearly in the story of Ruth. We see how God carried out his will both in Israel and in the family of Elimelech. During the famine in Bethlehem, although Elimelech left, some Israelites decided to remain and trust in God. Bethlehem means house of bread. And those who remained there believed that God would provide bread for them. But Elimelech did not want to stay with his fellow Israelites. His departure demonstrated his lack of trust in God. Regardless of the famines we experience in our lives, we know that our Father God will always provide for our needs. Although we may experience suffering, he will always remain faithful, even during the most severe famines in our lives. He does this not only to allow us to know the condition of our faith, our spiritual condition, not only to allow us to practice our faith and to learn how to depend more on him, but God also sends famines to demonstrate his limitless grace and mercy, his faithfulness, and his loving kindness. And although God himself can comfort us and miraculously provides for our needs by himself, as he did when he sent ravens to bring food to Elijah, let us not forget that it pleases him to comfort and bless others through each one of us, the members of the body of Christ, the church. Elimelech not only refused to consider his fellow Israelites when he decided to leave, but he refused their help as well. But despite Elimelech's actions, and despite Israel's collective disobedience, exemplified by Elimelech's lack of trust, God carried out his sovereign will according to his covenant promises. And today, God continues to demonstrate his loving kindness and faithfulness to us, the true Israel. And nothing can stop him from accomplishing all that he has predestined to occur in our lives. And although we may face uncertainties in this life, and although we may do all that we can by faith to deal with these uncertainties, we have peace. The peace that only those in Christ can experience. Our Lord Jesus Christ clearly said, "My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you." Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. We come to the second point of the text. Fear is often the result of uncertainty. But when we experience this type of fear, we must always remember that God not only knows the outcome of any situation, he has declared the outcome of all things from the beginning. In the book of Ruth, God demonstrated his covenant kindness and faithfulness towards Naomi through his providence. In verse 3, we read that Elimelech died. The death of a husband in ancient Israel was not only cause to the widow to experience emotional distress, but it also created a serious financial hardship for her. In those times, it was extremely difficult for women to live independently, and those that had no surviving family members lived in extreme poverty. But those widows who placed their trust in God never lost hope, because their hope was in God. Paul referred to this when he wrote that the widows who have been left alone have fixed their hope on God and continue in prayer night and day. And those widows today who likewise place their trust in God are never alone, because God is always with them. But although we know that God is with them and that he comforts them, God also comforts them through the members of his church. James refers to this when he exhorted the church to visit orphans and widows in their trouble. When Naomi's husband died, she was left with her two sons, whose name were Mahlon and Chilion. In verse 4, we read that both of her sons married Moabite women and remained in Moab for about 10 years. Now, we do know if Naomi could have prevented her sons from marrying foreign women, which was prohibited, or if she allowed them to do so. We don't really know for sure what happened. But regardless of this, her sons also demonstrated doubt and a lack of reverential fear of God when they married Moabite women. But once again, this did not affect God's faithfulness to his covenant promises. And I'm going to repeat that once again. This did not affect God's faithfulness to his covenant promises. Because Ruth was one of those Moabite women. And as we already know, Ruth was going to be included in the lineage of Christ. And this didn't happen by chance, because God is always in control of all things. And he was in control of all things in the life of Ruth. Now, one question some people may ask is, if God had predestined all that was going to occur in the life of Elimelech and his family, how can the result of the disobedience of Elimelech's family be part of what God has ordained? And that's a good question. The response is, although God is not the author of evil, nor does he tempt anyone to sin, his providence carries out his predetermined will by guiding all that took place in the life of Elimelech's family. We must understand, what is providence? It is the means through which God intervenes in our lives. Now, consider these things. We must not adopt the view of the fatalist, who sees this as a way to argue that if God has ordained everything, then nothing we can do really matters. King Solomon referred to this when he wrote, "The horse is prepared for the day of battle, and plans are prepared by consultation and wise guidance. But victory belongs to the Lord." Here we understand that although we know that the Lord is the one who has predetermined our victory, we still make plans for the war we are about to fight. We seek guidance and we make every effort to prepare ourselves for battle. In the story of David and Goliath, David trusted that the Lord was going to give him victory over Goliath. After all, who in their right mind would fight a well-trained warrior giant covered with protective armor using a slingshot? But although David knew that the Lord would give him the victory, he refused to put on Saul's armor because it was too cumbersome. He was thinking. He was planning. And he also carefully selected 5 smooth stones to use in his slingshot. He's thinking. He's planning. But he knew that the Lord was going to give him victory. Considering these things, we understand that despite the disobedience of Elimelech and his family, God was always in control and was carrying out his predestined plan through his providence. Now, we don't know why Naomi's 2 sons died. Scripture doesn't tell us. But we may have a clue by the meanings of their names, which were sickness and failing. This probably meant that one was born with illness and perhaps the other was weak. But regardless of how or why they died, their deaths must have been quite troubling for Naomi and for her daughters-in-law. The experience of a death of a husband is troubling enough. And the loss of a son or daughter is the worst event that a mother can experience. But to lose both of your sons, we can imagine how extremely painful this must have been for her, especially considering how difficult life was going to be as a widow in ancient Israel. But in the scriptures, we read that those who trust in Christ do not suffer as do the unbelievers. Because we will one day be reunited with those who have died in Christ. And if we are unsure of the spiritual condition of those who have passed away, we know that in paradise we will never experience any sorrow nor pain. Because paradise is a place of perfect peace where we will experience an everlasting joy that can only be described as indescribable. Although we may suffer painful experiences, the Bible tells us that God will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast on Him because they trust in Him. We come to our third point, verses 6 through 18. God does not depend on anyone nor anything to accomplish His will, but it pleases Him to use whomever He wants to do so. And sometimes He uses people who we least expect. God demonstrated His covenant kindness and faithfulness towards Naomi through an unlikely person, Ruth, a Moabite widow. In verse 6, we read that Naomi decided to return to Bethlehem because she had heard that the famine was over. The Bible doesn't tell us why Ruth remained in Moab after the death of her husband, and why she remained there for about 10 years with her sons. But in this verse, we have some insight as to why she did. She heard that the famine was over. And the reason why she and Elimelech left Bethlehem was the same reason why she remained there, because of the famine. Elimelech demonstrated that he doubted God when he moved to Moab. And Naomi did the same when she remained there, because she didn't return to Bethlehem until she heard that the famine had ended. When our devotion to Christ is negatively affected by the hardships we face in life, we must ask ourselves if God is indeed first in our lives. We must consider this because during these hardships, we are inclined to get closer to those who we value most in life, those who we trust, those in whom we find comfort. A child who trusts in his parents places them first in his life, and this is demonstrated by their dependence on them. For example, when a child experiences fear, sadness, or any form of discomfort, to whom do they go? To their parents. When they are in need, to whom do they go? To their parents. Why? Because they trust and depend on them. And as children of God, we must always demonstrate the same trust and dependence on Him. Especially when we are fearful, sad, or like Elimelech and Naomi, uncertain during very difficult times. This is what Jesus meant when he referred to those who have converted and become like children. Because those who come to him trust in him with humbleness of a child. And with the same type of trust that a child has in their parents. In verse 7 through 13, we read about the kindness of Naomi's daughters-in-law and how they did not want to leave Naomi. But Naomi insisted because, despite her uncertainties as a widow in ancient Israel, she placed their interest before her own and thought it would be better for them to return to their people in Moab. Now, although Orpah, the other daughter-in-law, at first did not want to return, she kissed Naomi and returned to her people. But Ruth insisted on staying with Naomi. We do not know how God comforted Naomi when she lost her husband and her two sons, but in verses 16 and 17, we see that after those events, God, through his providence, moved Ruth to remain with Naomi, to be devoted to her and to demonstrate her love for her. But what's most important is that she acknowledged that the Israelites were her people and that their God was her God. Here we can identify Ruth as a type of the Gentiles who became part of the true Israel of God, the church. Ruth's acknowledgement was similar to our confession of faith in Christ through which we express our acknowledgement of him as our Savior and Lord. Despite all of Naomi's weaknesses, God demonstrated his mercy, his loving kindness, and his faithfulness through Ruth, a woman who was entirely devoted to her, who loved her, and was willing to suffer the uncertainties of a single Moabite woman in Israel to be with her. This serves to prove that God can use anyone, even people who we least expect, to comfort us, especially when we need it the most. When in verse 15 we read that Naomi told Ruth that Orpah was returning to her people and their gods and urged Ruth to go with her, we can safely assume that Naomi was unaware of Ruth's faith in God. And therefore, we can also conclude that Naomi did not expect Ruth to be used by God to comfort and care for her. But here we have an example of how God works in mysterious ways, in ways that we least expect at times. Paul referred to this when he wrote, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways." In Hebrews 4:16, we read that through Christ, our high priest, we always have access to God's throne of grace and that we can draw near to it with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Here we understand that when we need comfort, God is pleased to comfort us through prayer. But we must also remember that it also pleases him to comfort us through the church, our brothers and sisters in Christ. In Paul's letter to the church in Corinth, we read, "God who comforts the depressed comforted us by the coming of Titus, and that God comforts us in all our affliction so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." And to the church in Thessalonica, he wrote that we, the members of the body of Christ, should comfort one another with the word of God, to encourage the faint-hearted, to help the weak, and to love one another. Although Naomi had lost her entire family, God comforted her with the love and devotion of Ruth. It is a beautiful thing to be comforted by someone who trusts in the Lord, because we know that it is God who is comforting us through that person. So when we see the opportunity to comfort others who are suffering, let us, by faith in Christ, be used as an instrument of God's grace to comfort them. In conclusion, let's consider the main points of the text. First, God is faithful. There's nothing we can do to stop him from accomplishing his sovereign and predestined will. Elimelech was disobedient when he doubted God's faithfulness by leaving Bethlehem and seeking refuge in a country that had a history of hostility towards Israel. And his sons were disobedient when they married Moabite women. But our omniscient Father God, who declares the end from the beginning and who works all things according to the counsel of his will, was always in control of everything that happened in the lives of Elimelech and his family. Second point, fear is often the result of uncertainty But when we experience this type of fear, we must always remember that God not only knows the outcome of any situation, He has declared the outcome of all things from the beginning. In the book of Ruth, God demonstrated His covenant kindness and faithfulness toward Naomi and Ruth through His providence. And lastly, God does not depend on anyone. He does not depend on anything to accomplish His will. But it pleases Him to use whomever He wants, whenever He wants. And sometimes He uses people who we least expect. God demonstrated His covenant kindness and faithfulness towards Naomi through an unlikely person, Ruth, who was a Moabite widow. Let us all remember God's dual purpose in the life of Ruth. Let us pray. Precious Lord and Almighty God, thank You, Father. Thank You for Your word. Thank You, Lord God, for Your grace and mercy and Your faithfulness. Thank You for Your providence. We trust in You, even when we don't understand what's going on. We trust in Your covenant promises. Thank You for Your eternal love. Thank You for the Holy Spirit. Thank You for Your word and Your promises. You are faithful. You are beautiful and perfect in all that You do, worthy of honor and glory forever. May we be all edified by the preaching of Your word. In Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen.